السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي ربي زدنا علما اللهم فقهنا في الدين اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا طيبا اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما آمين يا رب العالمين. إن شاء الله we'll cover ayat 126 to 131 of Surah Al-Baqarah today. We'll begin with the word meanings and then we'll move on to the tafsir, inshallah. Let's begin ayah number 126. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wa, and, if, when. And remember, we learned that whenever the word is comes in the beginning of an ayah, it's usually meant to recall something that happened in the past already. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us of this time. So wa is, and recall when. Qala, said, third person, singular, he said, Ibrahimu, Ibrahim alayhi salam. And we know that Ibrahim alayhi salam is the doer here. He is the one doing something because the meem at the end of his name has a dhamma on it. Okay, so Ibrahim alayhi salam said, Rabbi, my Lord, or my sustainer. That kasra underneath the ba shows us that there was actually a ya here. Okay, if this word was written alone, it would be Rabbi with a ya, meaning my Lord. But because it's connected to the next word, this word is connected, so that ya is removed and it's shortened. Okay, so the ya is shortened to just the kasra underneath the ba. So we connect it and we say Rabbi ja'al. So this Rabbi still means my Lord, even without the ya, because of the kasra underneath. Ij'al, make. Ja'ala means to make. And this is a command. And obviously, Ibrahim alayhi salam is making a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is requesting. So he's invocating. So ij'al, make. Hadha, this. Baladan, a city. Balad means city. So baladan, a city. Aminan, safe. Warzuq, wa means and urzuq comes from the word rizq, which means sustenance, things we use. Okay, so provision. So warzuq is a dua again, a command. So normally when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would say it, but this word is a dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam. So warzuq means and provide sustenance, okay, and provide rizq. Ahlahu, ahla means family at times, and it can mean people, inhabitants, okay, people who live somewhere. Who? It's inhabitants or residents, min, from, as-samarati, the fruits or provision. Samarat is the word that means the outcome of something. Okay, and it's also used for fruits. Man, whoever. Amana, believed. Third person, singular. And it comes from the word iman, which means to believe. And so three fathas in a row means he believed. Amana. Three fathas on all three letters in this word means it's third person and singular. Minhum, min, from, or among. Hum, them. Billahi, be. In Allahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa and al the yomi day al akhir, the last. Qala, he said, wa and man, whoever, kafara, he disbelieved or denied the truth. Kufr is the root word, and again, this is singular and it's third person. and it's in the past, because three fathas in a row on all three letters. So kafara, he disbelieved. فَأُمَتِّعُهُ فَا means then. أُمَتِّعَ comes from the root word مَتَّعَ. مَتَّعَ means provision, temporary benefits of this world. Okay, things we use. So u after the fa, the alif with the dhamma means I. مَتِّعُ will benefit who, him. So فَأُمَتِّعُهُ, then I will temporarily benefit him or provide for him. قَلِيلًا, a little bit, very little. ثُمَّ, then, أَضْطَرُّهُ, I shall compel him or force him. هُ at the end means him, and أَضْطَرَّ means to force something to happen. So أَضْطَرُّ, the alif in the beginning means I. So أَضْطَرُّ, I will force who, him, ila to azabi, punishment, annar, of the hellfire, wa, and bi'sa, how bad or evil, al-masir, is the place of return, the destination. Wa, and if, when, yarfa'u, raised, rafa'a means to raise. So يَرْفَعُ, he raised, إِبْرَاهِيمُ, إِبْرَاهِيمُ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ, الْقَوَاعِدَ, the foundations, مِنْ of الْبَيْتِ, الْبَيْتِ, the house. And this word specifically is talking about the Kaaba. Okay? So, of the house of Allah, wa, and إِسْمَاعِيلُ, Ismail alayhi salam. So this shows that Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam both did this. They were raising the foundations of the Kaaba. Rabbana, Rabba, Lord, Na, ours, taqabbal, accept. Ta in the beginning means you, and qafbala means to accept. So taqabbal, accept, minna, from us. Min means from. Nun alif na always means us, so minna, from us. Innaka, inna, indeed. Ka, you. Anta, you alone, only you. As-sami'u, the all-hearing. Sana'a means to hear. So as-sami'u, this is one of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's names. The one who is always all-hearing. Al-alim, the always all-knowing. And this comes from ilm. And he is alim because he has all the knowledge of everything. Rabbana, Rabba, Lord, na, ours. Waj'alna, wa, and ja'ala, root word, and that means to make. So, ij'al, make, na, us, muslimaini. We know Muslim is somebody who submits. Right, so muslimaini, the aini ending at the end of the word, okay, the aini means this is in the dual tense, okay, so muslimaini, both submissive, okay, we learned before that in Arabic it's not just singular and plural, okay, there's also a dual form of words, so muslimaini means two people who are Muslims. Okay, so Rabbana, our Lord, waj'alna, make us, muslimaini, both submissive, laka, la, to, ka, you, or for you. Wa, and, min, from, zurriyatina. Zurriya means children or offspring. Na, ours. Ummatan, a nation or community. Muslimatan, submissive, laka, to you. Va'arina, wa, and arina. Ra'a means to see, and this comes from that word. Ari means to show. Na, us. So show us. Manasikana. Manasik means ways of worship. Religious rituals. Okay, the ways we are supposed to worship. Na, ours. So manasikana, our ways of worship. Wa, and tuba, turn in mercy. And this is from the word tawbah, which means to seek forgiveness, right? When we do tawbah, when we ask for tawbah, we turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we seek forgiveness. And when it's used for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like Ibrahim and Ismail alayhi salam are making dua here for him to tuba alayna, to turn to us, that means to turn to us in mercy. Okay? So, watub, and turn in mercy, alayna, alay, upon na, us, innaka, inna, indeed, ka, you, anta, you alone, at-tawwab. This is from the word toba also, which means forgiveness. So, at-tawwab is the biggest acceptor of repentance, the most relenting. Ar-Rahim, the always all-merciful, and this is from the word Raham, which means mercy. So Ar-Rahim, the always all-merciful. Rabbana, Rabba, Lord, Na, ours, Wa-Ba'ath, Wa and Ba'atha means to raise or appoint. So Wa-Ba'ath and appoint, fi in him, them, Rasulan, a messenger, from them, yatlu, he recites. Tilawa is the root word, which means to recite. So yatlu, ya in the beginning makes this word third person. So he recites, alayhim, alay, upon him, them, ayatika, ayati means signs or verses. And in this case, it means the ayat of the Quran. So, verses, ga, yours, wa, and yu'allimuhum. This is from the word ilm, which means knowledge. Yu'allimu means he teaches. You makes this word third person, and then ilm. He gives ilm. He teaches. Hum, them. Al-kitaba, the book, wa, and al-hikmata, the wisdom. وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ, and he purifies them. زَكَّى means to purify, so you in the beginning means he. وَيُزَكِّي, and he purifies him, them. إِنَّكَ, إِنَّا, indeed, كَ, you, أَنْتَ, only you. الْعَزِيزُ, the Almighty. الْحَكِيمُ, the All-Wise. And this comes from the word hikmah, which means wisdom. Right, we just covered that above. So, Al-Hakim, the All-Wise. Waman, and who? Yarugabu, he turns. Ragab means to turn. Okay, and we should look at the word after this word. Whenever we see this word, look at the next word to determine what this word means exactly. It can mean to be attracted towards something or to basically turn away from something. Okay, and here, this means to turn away from, because the next word after this word, raghaba, is an. Okay, so it means, yarghabu means, ya in the beginning means he, and then yarghabu, he turns an from. So he turns away from, not that he turns towards because he's attracted to the way. So he turns away from millati, the creed or the faith, way of life, Ibrahima, of Ibrahim alayhi salam. So, Milla is basically a way, okay, that Ibrahim alayhi salam did things. So, Millati Ibrahim, the faith of Ibrahim alayhi salam, illa, except, man, who, safiha, he fooled. We learned this word before, remember? In the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah, Sufaha, and that meant the foolish ones. So Safiha, he fooled. Nafsahu, himself. Nafsa means soul, and hu means him or his. So Nafsahu, himself or himself. Wala qad, wa, and la, surely, qad, in fact. Istafainahu, istafa means to choose. Just like Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's name, Mustafa, one of his names, that means the chosen one. So, istafa, chose, na, we, who, him. Fi, in, ad-dunya, the world, the near. Wa, and, innahu, inna, indeed, who, he. Fi, in, al-akhirati, the hereafter. La, min, la, the short lam fatha means surely. Please do not stretch this word when you pronounce it, otherwise it means exactly the opposite. So la means surely, min from, as-salihin, those who are righteous. Salih is the root word here, which means somebody who is righteous, and ina ending makes this word plural. So those who are righteous or pious. Is when, recall when, qala, he said, lahu, la means to. Remember we learned before, whenever we see the word qala and then we see la after it, it makes more sense to say when he said to him instead of for him. So when he said to who, him, rabbuhu, rabbu, master or lord, who, his, aslim, submit. And this is a command. And it's the same word that we covered before, and it comes from the word Islam, which means to surrender, to submit. So aslim, submit or surrender. Qala, he said, aslam tu, I surrender. Tu at the end of this word means I. So aslam means surrendered or submitted. Tu, I, li rabbi, li, for, rabbi, master or lord. Al-alamin, the world or universe. Alhamdulillah. That is the word meanings for today. And now we'll start the tafsir, the explanation of these ayat. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ, and when Ibrahim a.s. said, رَبِّ جَعَلْ هَذَا بَلَدًا آمِنًا, O my Lord, make this place safe, make this city safe. Some say that Ibrahim a.s. made this dua when he left his wife, Hajra, and baby Ismail in the desert. When she asked who he trusted to take care for them there, he didn't reply to her. Okay? She asked, whose care are you entrusting us to? He didn't say anything. And when he was leaving, she ran behind him to ask again. And then she asked, did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala order you to do this? He nodded to confirm. After this, she said, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not waste our sacrifice. You can go. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not let their sacrifices go to waste. So when we do anything for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should always remember that nothing will be taken from us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not take anything from us. But what he gives people in return for that sacrifice is much more than we can ever imagine. We learned that he probably made this dua when he was leaving, and he couldn't see his wife, Hajra, anymore, and the baby. In Surah Ibrahim, ayat 35 to 37, we learned the duas that Ibrahim alayhi salam made there also. Okay? And there he says, oh my Lord, make this a peaceful city and save me and my sons from worshipping idols. Oh our Lord, I have settled my offspring in a ground that is close to this sacred house. This land is not capable of growing anything. My Lord, so they establish prayer. Make the hearts of people affectionately inclined to them, to turn to them and provide them with fruits for their sustenance. So they are grateful. SubhanAllah. So in that surah also, Ibrahim alayhi salam prayed for Mecca to be a peaceful place. Because nobody wants to go to a place if it's not safe. He didn't just say, make this a peaceful place for us, or for my wife and my baby. He made this dua for everyone to make their hearts inclined to this place. Okay, so they love it and they pay attention to it. Due to this dua that Ibrahim alayhi salam made, people go to this house even now.
And why did he settle his offspring there when the land there was not capable of being cultivated? So they establish salah there. They pray there, subhanAllah. He had the intention of trying to make people settle here by the house of Allah. His du'as show us what a great person he was. Whenever we come across any of the invocations he made, وَرْزُقْ أَهْلَهُ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ, and provide its residents plenty of rizq. ثَمَرَات includes all types of fruits, as well as all other foods. So all the necessities of life are included when we say ثَمَرَات, because the land there is not fertile. The area is a desert. But due to his dua, we get everything there till this day. Anybody who visits there can find anything there. Anything that is found in other parts of the world is available there. Any products, anything like fruits and vegetables or whatever else, that's why people shop there, because everything is available there. And this is due to Ibrahim alayhi salam's dua. Scholars say that Ibrahim alayhi salam did not pray for these fruits to grow there. Okay, he didn't say make these fruits grow there, because maybe he didn't want his kids to get caught up with farming and get distracted. He just prayed for that food to get to them somehow. And it does get to them from all parts of the world. The food still gets there. The two things that make people want to settle somewhere, any place, are peace and prosperity. These two things are necessary for people to be able to settle somewhere, to survive. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided all necessary things for their survival in this desert land. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help comes to people when they try to obey Him. All the people who go there, even now, and all the acts of worship they do are basically continuous charity for this family, Ibrahim alayhi salam and his family, because they inhabited it. If they had not sacrificed and settled there, this place would not have been inhabitable. There was no water there until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them the Zamzam water. Another thing we learn is that Ibrahim alayhi salam made a dua for sustenance and peace in this world. He asked for these two things. There is nothing wrong with asking for the goodness of this world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us the dua, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً, that, O our Lord, grant us the goodness of this life and the hereafter. But some people think that it's bad to ask for any blessings of this world, whether it's food or a house or any other provision or peace. But there is nothing wrong with this, as long as we ask for goodness of the hereafter as well. It shouldn't be that we get completely caught up in the blessings of this world that we forget about the hereafter, but we are supposed to ask for the goodness of this life and the hereafter. Even messengers asked for the goodness of this life along with the hereafter for themselves and their offspring. So what did he say with this dua when he made this dua? Man amana minhum billahi wal yawmil akhir. Those of them who believe in Allah and the Day of Judgment. Why? If we look back at Ayah 124, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, my promise is not for the wrongdoers. This was a hint that, oh Ibrahim, there will be wrongdoers in your offspring as well. Some of them will be wrongdoers. And since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had said that He excludes wrongdoers from the blessings of being imam or being chosen as the leaders to guide people, Ibrahim alayhi salam's dua here shows his complete submissiveness. Okay, because he thought Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not want these sort of blessings for them also. Okay, just because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, my promise to make them imams, leaders for mankind, is not with the wrongdoers of your offspring. It's only for the good ones of them. So Ibrahim alayhi salam makes the dua that, oh Allah, I want fruit for those who believe in you and the Day of Judgment. I'm asking for sustenance for them only, not for the zalimun, the unjust ones, the zalimin. So he asked for security and sustenance only for the believers. But what was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's reply? Qala, he said, وَمَنْ كَفَرَ, and whoever disbelieves as well, فَأُمَتِّعُهُ قَلِيلًا, that I will provide for them also. But in the end, ثُمَّ أَضْطَرُهُ إِلَىٰ عَذَابِ النَّارِ, then I will drag him to the torment of the fire. This means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Ibrahim alayhi salam that he would give the wrongdoers blessings, like fruits and benefits of this world also. But when it comes to being chosen to be imams for mankind, to be leaders, to guide people, he had told Ibrahim alayhi salam that those who are unjust will not get to do that. They won't be chosen as people who would guide mankind, because guidance is different from the other worldly provisions. It's very special. It is the greatest blessing, and that is given only to the believers. And the materialistic possessions of this world are just things to be tested with, things to use, and they're granted to everyone in this life. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says qalilan, that he would give them qalilan, it does not mean that he would give the wrongdoers only a little bit of goodness, or a little bit or less of wealth and sustenance of this world. That's not what this means. He means that whatever the wrongdoers get in this world is very little compared to the hereafter. Even if they are given the most wealth out of anyone in this world, it is still qalilan. Okay? Remember we learned how small this dunya, this near, is in comparison to the hereafter? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's hadith that the world compared to the hereafter is as if one of you were to put his finger in the ocean and take it out again. Whatever little bit of water stays on your finger is this life, the life of this world, compared to the hereafter being like the ocean. So obviously the benefits of dunya, of this life, are very small and very short in duration compared to the everlasting pleasures of Jannah. That's why the word qalilan is mentioned here. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means by giving them qalilan, since there is nothing for them in the hereafter. So even if they get all of dunya, it is still very little. Another beautiful hadith. Just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has divided sustenance among people, he has spread morality and manners. So he has given out morality and manners to people, divided it among people. Allah gives this world, the provision of this world, to everyone, those whom he loves and to those he doesn't like. But he only gives the ability to practice Islam to those he loves. This is a Musnad Ahmad narration. Subhanallah. So whoever is granted the understanding of Islam and the tawfiq, the ability to obey, is one of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's beloved people. If someone is successful in the life of this world, that doesn't mean Allah loves that person. These temporary blessings of this world are given to disbelievers too. But we can be sure that Allah loves us if He grants us the understanding of religion, the understanding of the deen. That means that He intends goodness for us. People ask why so many polytheists or disbelievers are so successful in life. When they're doing shirk, they associate partners with Allah. they deny him, then why aren't they so successful when it comes to this world? And people think this shouldn't happen. But this hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the blessings of this world to everyone. This is not the way to determine if he loves someone or not. We can't tell just by the amount of blessings they've been given in this life. Another hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam: if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala valued this dunya even as much as the wing of a mosquito, he wouldn't have given disbelievers even a sip of water to drink. But these blessings of this life are so worthless compared to the hereafter. Okay, imagine how small a mosquito is. And then imagine the wing of a mosquito. We don't even see it. And the life of this world is not even as valuable as that. So he gives so much here to everyone because it's worthless. So many blessings are given to even those who deny his existence. Don't be deceived by this into thinking that they must be his beloved people. That's not how we can judge if Allah loves someone or not. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Musa alayhi salam asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "O my Lord, why do you give your true believers very little in this world? They're usually poor or just have enough to get by." In response, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed Musa alayhi salam Jannah. After this, Musa alayhi salam said, "I swear by your greatness and majesty, if a person's hands and feet were cut off and he was dragged on his face his whole life, since the day he was born until his death, if that person's eternal home would be Jannah and its blessings, it would be as if he never went through any hardships and he accomplished everything." Then he said, "Oh my Lord, why do you give such an abundance of prosperity to those who disbelieve in you? Why do you give them so much?" Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed him Jahannam, the hell fire. Musa alayhi salam said, "Oh my Lord, if a disbeliever is given luxuries of this life from birth to the day of judgment, not from birth to the 60 or 70 years that he lives for, but from birth to the day of judgment. Imagine having a life of that long, very long life, and full of luxuries." So Musa alayhi salam said, if a person was given a life that long, full of luxuries, but ends up here in Jahannam, it's as if he never received any goodness. This is a Musnad Ahmad hadith. So we should not be deceived by these things or feel disappointed that they got so much wealth or success when we are the ones who believe in Allah. A lot of Muslims get frustrated and they complain about this, that they don't even believe in Allah or they associate partners with him. So why does he give them so much? Remember, it's not that they deserve it and we don't. He gives these things to everyone here. And this is all a part of the test. Then, ثُمَّ أَضْطَرُهُ إِلَىٰ عَذَابِ النَّارِ. Then I will drag him towards the torment of the fire. So what's the point of all the blessings that person received in this world? It's still قَلِيلًا, very little. Imagine this 60 or 70 or even 100 years of this life at the most. That's how long we can live, right? Compared to a life that will never end. Compare it to that. Spending that never-ending life in the fire, would that person be considered successful? Would be sal masir, and it's such an evil place to return to. We can't even imagine a destination that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls very bad. وَإِذْ يَرْفَعُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْقَوَاعِدَ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ وَإِسْمَعِيلُ. When Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam were constructing this house, raising the foundations of the Kaaba, this shows that the foundations were already there from before. Ibrahim alayhi salam did not build the foundations of the Kaaba. When he told his son about Allah's command to build the house of Allah there, its dimensions had also been given to him. After digging the foundations from underneath, they built on top of it. This house of Allah has been constructed 10 times in history. It was built first by the angels as the first house of Allah on earth. Subhanallah. So the Kaaba was first built by the angels. Later, Adam alayhi salam built it. Then Shis alayhi salam, but it fell during the flood of Nuh alayhi salam's time. And after that, Ibrahim alayhi salam built it. And next, the Amalika nation, they built it. The Amalika community, then the Jurum tribe, then Qusay bin Kilab, who was one of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam's forefathers, his great-great-great-grandfather. Then the Quraysh, the tribe that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam belonged to. But this was before Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam became Prophet. Then after Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Abdullah bin Zubair built it, and last, Hajjaj bin Yusuf. While Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam were constructing the Kaaba, they were making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا. Oh, our Lord, accept from us. They both made this dua together for their work to be accepted, even though they were doing a good deed. What do we learn from this? A few things to remember. Imagine the difficult work that they did. Just two people doing the construction of the house. Ibrahim alayhi salam didn't complain, "Oh Allah, you made me imam, a leader, and now you want me to do such difficult work too at my age without any equipment?" He was the imam, he was the leader, but he built the Ka'batullah with his own hands. Secondly, while constructing, Ibrahim and Ismail alayhi salam are saying, "Oh Allah, accept from us." Who would make this sort of a dua? A person who worries about the acceptance of his work, that it may or may not be accepted. But people who think they have done enough don't worry about making this dua. People like us do a few good deeds sometimes, and then we think we've done everything. Even after all the good deeds Ibrahim alayhi salam did, and all his sacrifices, he still made this dua while building the Kaaba. After going through so many trials and being chosen as the leader for mankind to guide them, and knowing that he has been honored to build the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he should have been proud. That's how we get, right? Over little things. But he was so humble. And he continued to make du'as, worried about the acceptance of his work. What should we learn from this? The more fruit a tree bears, the lower its branches are. Like people who had high ranks, but they were so humble. Even after all the sacrifices and doing so much work, the prophets proved they were sure that Allah's rights cannot be fulfilled. All they wanted was for Allah to accept their work. They tried their best and then they worried about their work being accepted. We become satisfied after doing such little things, just a few good deeds, and we have no humility. Most people start thinking they have gotten to the higher ranks just because they're learning the Quran and they pray and fast. They think they have done everything they were supposed to do. But do we ever worry about our work being accepted? Any of our good deeds that we do? whether it's prayer or fasting. We learn many times in the Quran about good deeds going to waste. Habitat a'maluhum, that their deeds went to waste. So this does happen. If we start to feel proud after doing anything good, or we think that we're better than others, na'udhu billah. Ibrahim and Ismail alayhim as-salam were doing such important work, great work, but they were still so humble. No matter what we may do for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or how difficult a task is, don't be arrogant about it. Just because we are obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through difficulties at times, we should remember that He is the one who gave us that ability to do that, to endure. So instead of being proud of ourselves or being arrogant, we should be grateful to Him. And we should always worry about our good deeds being accepted. We should say, "Oh Allah, accept it from me. You know the shortcomings and mistakes in my work, even when I don't. And my work does not deserve to be accepted by you. But my Lord, please accept it." This is what we should be worried about. And only if we don't count our good deeds can we do this. If we sit there counting and thinking that we've done so much and it's all going to be accepted, we would never make that dua. So instead of being proud of the little bit of work we do that's full of all these mistakes and shortcomings we make, we should think, "I have not done anything yet. I have to do much more." Only then we can do good deeds and actually worry about them being accepted. They both said, "Innaka anta samiul alim." O Allah, only You are the all-hearing of our du'as and the all-knowing of what's in our hearts. You know everything. Think about this. Ibrahim and Ismail alayhim wassalam were making this du'a while building the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shouldn't we be so mindful of this also? When they say, "You alone hear and know everything," it means that You alone hear in a way, O Allah, that nobody else hears. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't just hear someone's voice like we do. We hear someone speak and we hear their voice. He knows that person's feelings and emotions behind that voice and that person's supplications. Only He knows everything the way nobody else can. رَبَّنَا وَجِعَلْنَا مُسْلِمَيْنِ لَكَ. And this is the continuation of their dua. Oh, our Lord, make us both submissive to You. SubhanAllah. They were so obedient already. And they were making this dua. They were Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's chosen prophets. But they made dua to be steadfast in obedience. As humans, we always need to make dua for steadfastness in deen. Because we don't know about the future. Just because someone is obedient today doesn't mean their level of iman will be the same tomorrow. So we should always be afraid of this, knowing that Allah has given me the ability to learn and understand today, or to say something good, or be guided. Oh Allah, don't take this away from me due to a mistake I make, or something I say wrong. We should never be proud of any of our good deeds or feel arrogant and never think that we have done enough. Otherwise, we cannot say, رَبَّنَا تُقَبَّلْ مِنَّا. They did so many good deeds, but still, they didn't think they had done enough. So it doesn't matter if this one good deed gets accepted or not. They didn't think that way. They wanted it to be accepted. How can we take that chance and not be worried about the acceptance of the few good things that we do end up doing? We don't have many things in that list of good deeds to begin with. And even out of those, we don't know if any of the things were accepted or not. So we should pray for each one of our good deeds to be accepted. We should remember that we can't even get close to fulfilling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rights over us. So we always need to make dua for acceptance for anything we do. Why do we listen to shaitan when he whispers to us that we have done enough? We've done so much. We actually start thinking that we have accomplished a lot when we don't even know if any of that work was accepted. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the chance to do anything good, we don't know when that chance will be taken away. So they made this dua. Oh Allah, make us submissive to you. Make us obedient to you. وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِنَا And from our offspring too. أُمَّةً مُسْلِمَةً لَكَ A community should remain in them that would be obedient to you. They would be Muslims. They made this dua because they knew that some of their offspring would be wrongdoers because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hinted this already to Ibrahim alayhi salam. The duas they made were for all their offspring to come, not just the next generation. But when we make dua, we usually just make dua for our kids or grandkids, but we don't think much about the future generations. They wanted their descendants to be obedient as well, all of them, not just them and their children. Here, Ismail alayhi salam is mentioned in every part with Ibrahim alayhi salam to show that Ismail alayhi salam's offspring is the one to be the Muslim ummah later. He made this dua with his father. Ibrahim alayhi salam's other son, Ishaq alayhi salam, was not there when they were constructing the Kaaba. He didn't make that dua. So the Muslim ummah would not be from Ishaq alayhi salam or the Bani Israel who were from him. Instead, the Muslim ummah is from the offspring of Ismail alayhi salam. وَأَرِنَا مَنَاسِكَنَا And O our Lord, show us our ways of worship. Meaning how to worship you, to please you. Sometimes we think it's enough to have good intentions and just worship. Just pray in any way, because he knows how we feel. But along with good intentions, we must do what he wants. Worship him the way he approves, okay, the way he wants us to. Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show them these ways. How would Allah show them? Maybe in a dream? That they would dream about it, or maybe Jibreel alayhi salam would come and teach them, like he prayed and showed Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam how to praise Allah. They asked for Allah to show them so they can do things exactly as Allah ordered, exactly as he wanted. This teaches us how important it is to do things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala approves of, that he likes, the way he likes. It's not enough to think that Allah knows our intentions. So whatever I do to please him is okay, whichever way. It's not okay. We should try to do it the right way, the way he told us to. Do we ever think to pray the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to exactly? The way he made Jibreel alayhi salam teach Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? That's the way he likes for us to pray. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed us how to pray, how to fast, and perform Hajj. He actually told people to learn how to do Hajj properly because he may not be with them later. Do we have the desire to learn to pray according to how Allah wants us to, instead of just continuing to do what we learned as children? We should try to learn how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prefers for us to do it. And we can easily do that by studying about the salah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Chances are we didn't learn the proper way when we were so young. With the Quran as well, sometimes we just continue to read it as we learned to read as kids, without bothering to learn to recite the right way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes. The way Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed us to recite, the correct way. For all acts of worship, we should make an effort to learn to do them the right way, the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes, instead of just saying that He knows we have good intentions. Think about Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam. They were such great prophets, but they still prayed for Allah to show them the right ways of worship, how to worship Him. What was the point of this? So they could worship Him to please Him, so He would be happy. We should learn from this. وَتُبَ عَلَيْنَا. O Allah, turn towards us in mercy and accept our repentance. Repentance for what? That comes to mind, right? Like, what are they asking forgiveness for? They built the house of Allah, and they said, accept our repentance and be merciful to us. If someone tells us to do tawbah, to seek forgiveness, we say, we haven't done anything wrong. What did I do? Right? They constructed the Kaaba, and they're saying, وَتُوبَ عَلَيْنَا. Turn to us in mercy and forgive us. Why? We should think about this. Because there are many shortcomings in the good deeds we do. The good deeds that anyone does, there's shortcomings in it. There's mistakes we make. There is no perfection in our work because we are human. So of course we can't do it the way it should be done according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's majesty. Even if they were messengers, they made this dua for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive their shortcomings, to have mercy on them. So we should really do tawbah every step of the way. Seek forgiveness instead of being proud after doing any good deed. People like us should actually seek forgiveness even after our ibadah, the acts of worship, because we make so many mistakes during prayer and fasting or any other ibadah we do. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. Indeed, you alone are the one who accepts repentance. Tawwab means the one who accepts repentance very much, over and over again. Rahim means the one who is all merciful, again and again. Only you. So we make dua to a Rabb, to a master who has these characteristics. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so tawwab, the acceptor of repentance, in such a way that He actually waits for His slave to turn back to Him and seek forgiveness so that He can forgive him or her. He gets happy when people seek forgiveness, and He likes to forgive. He is tawwab, and He is so merciful that as soon as someone turns to Him, He turns to that person in mercy, no matter how many sins that person has committed. رَبَّنَا وَبَعَثْ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا. They made dua for their offspring to be Muslim. And now, Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam make dua for their offspring to be guided as well. For that, they ask for a messenger. And this dua means, O Allah, send from them a messenger. From who? Send from who a messenger? Ismail alayhi salam's offspring. Because he was there with Ibrahim alayhi salam. He was the son that was there with Ibrahim alayhi salam. So they asked for a messenger to be sent from Ismail alayhi salam's offspring, from his descendants. This is something that made it clear to the Jews that Ibrahim alayhi salam made dua for a messenger to be sent from Ismail alayhi salam's children. So the messenger had to be from Bani Ismail. So there was no need for them to say they won't believe Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam because he wasn't from them. This was their dua, the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam, for a messenger to be sent from Ismail alayhi salam's descendants. And why did they pray for a messenger to come from them, the Bani Ismail, and not someone from outside? Because someone from among them would be familiar with their habits, their history, their culture, language, and everything else about them very well. He would know everything. This way, there would be no communication gap. They would understand each other clearly, and he would speak their language. Then they made dua for four things to be done. But that messenger should do four things. They're making dua for this. يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِكَ, that he will recite your ayat to them, your verses. O Allah, meaning send a rasul, a messenger among them who would recite your words to them. We learned what it means to do tilawa of the book, to recite the book, to follow, to read, to understand. So that includes reading the words the right way, with the right tajweed, with haqqa tilawati. Remember we learned these two words? We covered these already. And these two words beautifully explained the rights of the book over us. And reading it properly is one of those things. So that rasul, that messenger, should recite your words to them, O Allah. Secondly, وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابِ, he would teach them the book. Teaching is different from just reading. Not that he would just read it to them, he would teach them. They were Arabs, so they didn't have an issue with the language. So wasn't it enough to just recite it to them because they understood Arabic? No, it wasn't enough because teaching is important also. And how is that done? A teacher is needed to learn from, and it should be done in a specific way to be able to understand. So he teaches them the book and hikmah. Now, what is hikmah? Hikmah means wisdom. So he teaches them how to act according to the book, how to implement it. That's hikmah. Who taught us that? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He taught us how to implement the Quran in our lives. So the hadith, meaning the things he said, and the sunnah, his way of life, are hikmah. They are full of wisdom. Okay, they teach us how to implement the Quran in our lives, the hadith and the sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ, and he would purify them. This is the fourth thing. Educating someone about something is not enough. The training is also needed to cleanse and purify ourselves spiritually on the inside. This is needed as well. This has two steps, purification. The two steps of purification are first to get rid of bad deeds, okay? The bad, the negativity from inside, to get rid of the bad deeds. And secondly, to get in the habit of doing good deeds, add positive things, okay? These two things purify people. If we want to help someone in that process of purification of the soul, we should try to help them remove bad habits and develop good ones. Because those two things can change a person on the inside. Ibrahim alayhi salam thought of this for the future offspring, that this should be done to make them the Muslim ummah, a prophet who would recite Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book to them, who would teach them the book, and he would teach them the wisdom and purify them. How would this be done? This is what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did, that made the ignorant Arabs become the respected sahaba, the respected companions of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And those sahaba became radiyallahu anhum wa radu an, that they were pleased with Allah and Allah is pleased with them. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did these four things to change those Bedouins. The one thing that was common among all four steps here was the Quran, the book. Back then, this is how Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam changed them. And today, if we want to change a society, we must do these four things as well. Because when an individual changes, gradually the society begins to change. How would we bring about that positive change, even in one person's life? By lecturing them, or yelling at them, or threatening them? No, that doesn't work. Even if we try to do that with our kids, that wouldn't work. First, we must know that person's way of thinking. Then we work on changing their thought process. How? How do we change that person's way of thinking? By strengthening and increasing their iman, their belief in Allah and the hereafter. When people think differently, their actions begin to change also. If someone doesn't strengthen their iman, their actions will not change. Even if someone does something out of being pressurized once or twice, it doesn't work. It doesn't stay. Okay, and so that person can't continue to do it if they're just pressurized into doing something. Some people think that they can force others to practice, but that cannot happen. We must prepare the soil first, and once it's ready, then we plant the seed. If the soil isn't ready and we plant the seed, that seed goes to waste. So when someone believes in Allah with certainty, they believe in the Quran, they believe in the Day of Judgment, that's the basic seed that's the basic preparation for planting the seed. Okay? Have them strengthen their belief in Allah. Be sure of it. Okay? That there is one God, only one God. Okay? And then the Quran and the Day of Judgment, that it will come. Then we don't need to lecture them or tell them the importance of the orders, that it's very important to cover up and all the wisdom behind it. We wouldn't need to go into all that or about the benefits of it. Once someone is ready, that soil is ready, then we can plant the seed. We tell them and they do it. They ask, what is the next order from our Lord? We will learn ahead, inshallah, how Sahaba used to go to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to ask what they should spend, what they should do. Once they were ready to obey, it was enough for them to just hear that it was an order from Allah and they did it. Because when people believe in Allah, they don't question his orders, since they know that he has the right to be obeyed, that I must obey whatever he orders. I must obey his command. I must say, Sami'na wa ata'na. We have heard and we obey. And this is the order of my master. So it's very important. But if there's no iman, there's no faith, that needs to be fixed first. The book is needed to soften the hearts of people first. And then people find it easy to recognize and obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited the ayat, the verses of the Quran to the Sahaba, to his companions. Then he taught them the book and hikmah. Then he went into the details and the wisdom and how to implement. Just listening to a lecture is not enough. That refreshes our iman for some time, but it won't last long. Even listening as a listener does not have the same results as being a student in class. Learning is different because there's a teacher, a syllabus that we follow, discipline, punctuality, and lots of other things that must be done to get a proper education. Nobody says that they want to be a doctor, but they will do it just by listening to someone tell them a few things about medicine. That's not possible. Why do we think that when it comes to the Quran, we can learn everything just by listening without getting the proper education? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said he was sent as a muallim, a teacher, the one who teaches. He taught people. Those Bedouins didn't say that they didn't need a teacher. If a teacher wasn't needed, the Quran could have been found on a mountain. And they could have gotten it from there. They knew Arabic already, so one of them could have read it to the rest. But learning it properly was important in order for them to change, one thing at a time. First of all, we should know how to recite it properly, and then we should study it well for our lives to change for the better. Those of us who have completed the Quran courses before, the courses we took with our beloved Ustaza before, those of us who have completed them know how our lives have changed since studying the Quran. And this change takes place naturally as we begin to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We start to think differently, and then our actions change. That's when our priorities change, our interests, our likes and dislikes, our goals and activities, everything changes. So that change on the inside is very important. The education of the Quran is absolutely necessary to change our lives, our homes, and our communities. وَالْحِكْمَةَ How did Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam act according to the Quran and tell people? Through the tafsir of the Quran, the explanation, and the hadith, which were his statements. Because what is in the tafsir, the explanation of the Quran? It's basically hadith, things he said. We can't figure out and do our own tafsir of ayat. Okay, we can't just read ayat and just keep saying that this means this and that means that from whatever we figure them out to be. We learn the explanation of any ayah by what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us about that ayah and how he acted according to the order of that ayah. And وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ And he purifies them. That he didn't just teach them books, but he trained them also. He helped remove the negative things from them. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam trained the Sahaba to increase their good deeds. So Ibrahim alayhi salam had actually made this dua for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send a messenger. That's why Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I am the dua of my father, Ibrahim alayhi salam. These four things were the responsibility of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He did these things to change that society. And what now? Who is supposed to do this work after him? Is there another messenger who will come? Or will the angels descend from the sky? Who will do this work? Me and you. We complain about all the issues with society. But they are in such a bad state, the societies, because this work is not being done. We must do these four things and spread the knowledge. That's our responsibility as the Muslim Ummah. We are the chosen ones to spread the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now. Until the Day of Judgment, we have been given this responsibility. So we must do this. And it includes obtaining and spreading guidance, knowledge, and the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We just do the four things that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. But many people don't want to get a proper education of the Quran. They say that they have no time for it. This happens because we have started wasting time doing things that don't benefit us in this life or the hereafter. We constantly waste time on the internet, social media, emailing and texting and just wasting time. We're just decorating our homes or just working all the time. That's where all our time goes. We can only make time by getting rid of useless things in life. The things that aren't worth wasting time over. Value your time. In this life, compromise on less. But when it comes to the hereafter, aim for the best. And remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this responsibility to do what the messengers did in the past. And Ibrahim and Ismail alayhi salam said, إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ Oh Allah, you are the Almighty. You gave us the religious laws, the Sharia, and you have the authority to do so. The book came from you, and you have all the wisdom. وَمَنْ يَرْغَبُ عَنْ مِلَّةِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ إِلَّا مَنْ سَفِهَ نَفْسَهُ And who will turn their face away from Ibrahim alayhislam's way except for the person who is foolish? What was Ibrahim alayhislam's way? His faith. We'll learn this in the next ayah. But it was the same as that of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Meaning he was of the same faith as Ibrahim alayhislam. So they both taught the same way of life. So if someone turns away from what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought, they are basically turning away from the ways of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And who would do that? Only the foolish person who fools himself. Because those with intellect, the sensible people, wouldn't do that. We learned last time how each religion, people of each faith, claim to follow the ways of Ibrahim al-Islam. How could that be when they were turning away from his ways? They were turning away from the book that would teach them about it. And because of the ways of Ibrahim al-Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ اِسْتَفَيْنَاهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا, and we chose him in this world. وَإِنَّهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ لَمِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ, and in the hereafter, he will be definitely with the pious. So he will definitely be with the pious. The whole group of righteous people is summed up and called the Salihin here, the pious people. That includes the prophets, the martyrs, the truthful ones. Whoever wants to be in the company of Ibrahim al-Islam in the hereafter has to be of the Salihin as well. That person will have to be included in one of those categories. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose Ibrahim alayhi salam in this world and made him his khalil, his friend. People of all faiths respect him. Every person from the Muslim ummah sends blessings on him, and when they read the Durood, we also say Ibrahim alayhi salam's name. Right, so we make dua for him, we send blessings on him. So if anyone does not follow Ibrahim al-Islam's way, they will not be chosen in this world, and they will not be of the Salihin in the hereafter either. And what was his way? إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ أَسْلِمْ. Whenever his Lord told him to submit to his Lord, قَالَ أَسْلَمْتُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Right away, he said, I submit. Note that there's no wa, summa or fa between aslim and qala. It just says submit and I submit. Nothing in between. Qala aslamtu comes immediately after aslim, because Ibrahim al-Islam did not hesitate even for a second. He answered right away, I submit. For who? Li rabbil alameen. He didn't say aslamtu laka, that I submit to you, O Allah. He could have said that. But he says, I submit to Rabbil Alameen, because this means that you deserve to be obeyed. And this includes praising Allah and saying that you deserve to be obeyed, Allah. Why would I not obey you when you are the Lord of the whole universe? These beautiful words of Ibrahim al-Islam are full of hamd, so much praise for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, grant us the ability to follow the footsteps of Ibrahim al-Islam. Enable us to learn to make the du'as that he made for himself and his offspring. Allow us to fulfill the responsibility of being the Muslim Ummah, to convey Allah's message to others, to spread the knowledge of your book, to recite it, and grant us all wisdom. Ameen Ya Rabbal Alameen. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم آمين يا رب العالمين جزاكم الله خيرا كثيرا السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته